to Expounding Universe, Season 26, Episode 1, Since You've Been Gone, the book Star Wars The Old Republic Fatal Alliance by Sean Williams. It was written in 2010. The chapters are the prologue and the first two chapters. Your hosts are Jeff and John, and we're all just thrilled to be back, so let's go!
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. Welcome back to Expounded Universe. It's been a minute.
Hey, look, we're back in the stars again.
Back in the saddle.
Back in the Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Back
in Star Wars, although I think we will not see so much as a hint, nay, nary a breath of Skywalker or thereabouts in this guy.
Oh, hell no, because we're easing back into Star Wars by going from the MMO World of Warcraft novel into the Star Wars MMO novel.
Well, hold on a second, John. We already did a Star Wars MMO novel.
The other one.
the other...
We did Galaxies. Now it's time for SWTOR.
Oh, man. I was hoping to see the resurgence of that dude with two mohawks. Can't remember any of the names of that book, but I remember it was just boring and bad.
Oh, yeah.
Will this be different?
So far, yes. Honestly, these first three chapters, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's how you start a book. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that the first three chapters of this definitely go through the motions of introducing one of all of the playable character types.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, oh, there's a smuggler and a bounty hunter and two of the Jedi. One of them's a good one and one of them's a bad one. And there's a soldier. So, you know, whatever you play as, there's one for you. sniper yet or whatever that was called. The Sith agent.
Yeah, the Imperial agent.
Yes.
Is in there, because we have a little dramatis personae at the beginning of this book.
Yeah.
And it just sort of lets you know, like, hey, here are the eight characters that you will see. And we'll just let you know that you're going to see, I think, all of the classes except for maybe one of them.
I mean, it's going to be hard to say for sure, because you've got...
I think the only one you aren't seeing is the Sith one that's the
infiltrator
melee.
Yeah, this
no, you no, get the Sith sorcerer, you don't get the Sith
juggernaut or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
The one that's like basically the Jedi Knight equivalent.
Yeah because we get a Sith Lord and a Sith apprentice in here, but we only have one Sith.
Yeah,
so we don't get to have both.
So not to kind of ruin this for, but yeah, if you're asking us, are you guys two nerds in your early 40s and therefore you've definitely played every MMO there ever is, so no matter what we throw at you, you'll always at least have a passing familiarity with it? The answer is yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I made it a point for a while to just go play a bunch of weird fucking MMOs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, not to the point where it was like, oh, I'm just going to play all these shitty ones because I'm like, oh, I know that's shitty.
Yeah.
But
no Wizarding 101 or whatever for you.
Yeah. I'm not going to go play one of the 50,000 Korean MMOs that's like, you can hit the button where we'll just grind for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why would I do that?
Oh, and also if you shake your mouse, your character's boobs jiggle in time.
Also, please pay us $50 an hour to play this.
For extra boob.
You get more dollars for boobs. But SWTOR was, I think it just actually had a new update where they added farming to it, because that is the sign that an MMO has run out of ideas, and they're like, I don't know, man, you can do some Stardew Valley shit.
That's great. I can't believe that. I mean, it's not that far outside the realm of possibility. Farming has been an integral part of Star Wars stories for quite some time.
Yeah.
A lot of the movies open on a farm or something happening that's farm-related.
But now it's like, oh, you've... what, saved the galaxy like 15 times? Now you can plant, I don't know, Corellian
turnips. Space turnips are way better than Corellian turnips.
Well, I mean, they're more broadly applicable.
Yeah. Also, Corellian turnips won't shut the fuck up about Corellia. Best planet in the galaxy. Go Corellian Mets.
Yeah, I know. I know you got space turnips, but do you have any Corellian turnips?
There's something about the water.
God damn it.
You can buy a Corellian turnip any time of day or night at a corner store. Try doing that on fucking Glee Anselmo.
You could buy it from Bodega. Bodega being the name of an alien who has set up shop
He's always there.
Only in Corellia.
So yeah, we've both played this MMO. We even had long enough to play, so we had like mains and we went through like end game content back many, many expansions ago.
Oh yeah. Unlike WoW, where I would play everything and get all of it to max, because SWTOR was very much like, oh, this is a very slow, story-driven thing, and you got to go through. I did get through a few people's stories.
Yeah.
But my main was a Sith sorcerer.
Yeah, my main was a smuggler, I believe. The good guy smuggler, which I loved, because there was something great about her just being so gleeful when she shot people in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Because the soundtrack...
Kick someone in the nuts, shoot them in the back.
And then the whole time you'd be like, hee-hee, look at this, pow. They're always laughing.
So jolly.
It was creepy. I don't know if a male smuggler played different, but a female smuggler was creepy and awesome, and it was exactly right for me. So yeah, we've played this, so we know a little bit about what we're looking into, but unlike WoW, where we could probably just go into a dissertation about the current content,
yeah,
I haven't played this game in many cycles and have completely forgotten everything about and don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah. I mean, I went back to it like a few years ago.
Oh, I'm installing it right now. Here we go.
They did a whole thing where they're like, oh, we're going to expand the story to have, like, the Infinite Empire and bullshit, and you're going to go fight, and, like, the Emperor Reborn who took over, like, possessed the Emperor of some extra galactic
thing. Let's not get too deep into it. That's definitely my bonus content this week.
Oh, great. But the baseline story of going through all the characters was neat. You could do, like, no matter what side you were on, you could do a light or a dark side path.
Yeah, and they
so
were
you
always
could do a light side Sith if you wanted.
You could even sort of start, like, it gave you, every character got their own ship and, like, five NPCs that would come live on your ship and be your partners and hang out with you and
yep,
stuff.
You could always have one of your NPCs run around with you to help you out.
Yeah, and so you ended up getting attached to them because they had cool, good storylines. And then at a certain point, I feel like, you know, the MMO wasn't making the money it used to. It wasn't the WoW killer it was expected to be. And so they kept putting out stuff. They kept it not quite on life support, but close. And started putting out expansions that were just like one storyline for everybody. And it kind of lost a lot of its charm. Where all of a sudden it was like, yeah, now you have 50 NPCs to choose from, but none of them matter. It went from Chrono Trigger to Chrono Cross real fast.
Yeah, there was a thing in the expansion that was happening when I... like came back and then left again, where it was like, oh, you lose all of your companions.
Yes.
You don't get them anymore.
There's like a 3-year time jump.
Yeah, and now you have to go find them again.
Yeah.
But you can find other people's. So again, it is like you said, you just sort of get a bunch of companions, including maybe some of your old ones.
Yeah, and just some random new ones as well. It just didn't matter as much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it lost a little bit there, but I understand why they had to do that. It's not making World of Warcraft money, and MMOs are not allowed to die because they still make some money. And once you have them built, they will sit there and make some money for server costs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially anything that's got the name recognition of, like, a Star Wars, you're like, yeah, if someone's like, oh, I wanted to play a Star Wars MMO, they download the game, they go in there, and they're like, all right, here's $20 so I can get some weird dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they leave, they're like, I don't care. We just got $20 out of you. That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. So we both played this, so you will hear a little bit about the storyline from people who knew about it. But the MMO is kind of interesting. You mean, you've got a bunch of species to choose from. They don't matter.
Yeah.
They don't matter at all. I think they might have some power, static bonuses or something, but they're all very similar in style, so they don't have to worry about trying to fit the clothing onto everybody.
Yep.
The game got poisoned by marketing real early, where 90% of the game now is, give us $5 for a box that'll contain 3 makeup palettes and a lightsaber gem.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I mean, it's every MMO that ends up going into the death spiral, where you're just like, oh, all that matters in this game to the developers is the cash shop. It's just, you know, a bunch of loot boxes and ways to pay for mounts, and you can give us $70 to skip certain things. And eh.
Yeah. So the original MMO, the Galaxies that we covered earlier, I believe is set between episodes 4 and 5 of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Where this one is, it's called The Old Republic, and for a damn good reason, it is set 4,000 years before episode 1.
Except all of the ships look exactly the same.
And there's an empire, and a republic, and an emperor, and a Jedi council, and a Sith council, and if you're playing the smuggler class, you fly a slightly boxier Millennium Falcon. Yeah, it is, They definitely were like, well, we want to make a Star Wars MMO, but we want it to be a sequel of sorts to Knights of the Old Republic, those two old BioWare games.
Yeah, because it was a BioWare MMO.
Yes, although they don't run it nowadays.
No.
And so it's a sequel to that, but they really didn't want to lose the money they could get from just telling people, like, hey, there's fucking TIE Fighters and X-Wings and shit in this game.
Oh, yeah, because so, if you go in, you're like, oh, I want to be a fucking smuggler. And they're like, all right, we know what you actually want. Here you have the Han Solo outfit to start with, mm-hmm. and your ship is the Millennium Falcon.
You will get a Wookiee.
Fine.
One of your five companions is a Wookiee, so, you know, you don't have to worry about that.
Yep, if you just want to be Han Solo, we will allow you to do that.
Yeah. But it is set 4,000 years before Episode 1. Now, we've been in this era before on this show. The zombie book was set during the Old Republic era.
Yeah, and you could tell because there were, you know, an entire Sith Academy.
Yeah, there's a Sith
Academy. Instead of just two.
Well, yeah, because this predates the rule of two by about 3,600 years.
Yeah.
Which, one of these days, we're going to have to read Plagueis so we can understand. I want to hear his fucking argument for why two is a good idea and one is a bad idea.
I want to read it because it's not a story that the Jedi would tell me, so I got to find out some way.
It's a story. I mean, I just want to hear his argument for why two is better than one. Like, I feel like if you're... Every Sith seems to have the same basic goal. Attain local power and then achieve immortality and then get grand power and in some order.
Well, because if you have one, then when you inevitably get murked, there is no more Sith.
Yeah, but you shouldn't care because you're murked. Like, if you're selfish enough, you don't care if your order dies because you're fully in the mindset that, no, I'll finish up Project Necromancer or whatever the fuck and I'll never die. Why would I need a number two who's just going to be a threat to my power later? I would love, I mean, I guess Plagueis was just really, really pragmatic because everyone who's come before and since him has been like, why would I need an apprentice? I will outlive them and live forever and become the god of this universe.
I mean,
and I guess there'll be a little me running around too for fun.
There are a couple guys who end up doing that, but a lot of, I mean, especially
here,
in Old Republic,
yeah,
a lot of the Sith guys are like, I'm just a nasty boy, and I like running around being a nasty boy.
Yeah, the Sith are funny in the MMO because they have to support a playable rank of MMO players. Two of them, because there's two classes you can play. And so they have to have like structure and, you know, schools you can go to and leaders and so on who make sense, but they're still pretty much running them exactly like it's a whole big squad of Vaders and Emperors everywhere, where it's always like, well, how do we recruit people? We don't. We sense people who have Force ability and kidnap them and kill their families, and they're honored to die. Like, this doesn't seem like it's hyper-sustainable to me.
I mean, it's why one of the best storylines in the MMO is playing as the Imperial agent, because it is the character who goes, oh, Jesus Christ, trying to get my job done with these fucking assholes running around is impossible.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're playing as the two non-Force user classes that are on the Sith side in that game, because that or the Bounty Hunter.
And the Bounty Hunter is like, oh, I don't actually fully answer to you. I'm not Imperial.
Yeah.
I'm a Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
So the agents are the only ones who are like, I have to answer to these guys, and they are literally insane.
Yeah, it makes that agent's one of the more fun ones to play. If I hadn't already gone through with more or less the same story because of being the smuggler for a long time, I would have played it a lot more. But yeah, every time you're like, well, I can deal with the command structure. Here's some perfectly respectable fleet admiral, and I'm talking to him, and him and I have an understanding. And in comes the craziest, meanest fucker you've ever heard of, just a fucking homeless guy with a lightsaber just ranting about magic or whatever. And for some reason, he's the undisputed boss.
Yeah, he's in charge. When he shows up and he's like, all right, we got to move our troops here, and of course, there's probably an ambush there, so we're going to need to do
minions!
That.
Minions! I demand absolute fealty plus three of your fingers!
Oh, God damn it.
I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah. I've decided that the best way to win is to poison all water on the planet! You know, we live here, too.
I declare war on the sun! Full speed ahead!
Ramming speed!
Come on, man.
God damn it. Come on. It's why the Imperial stuff in the MMO, when you've got all of these various things, and you do the agent storyline, you're like, the only reason we get anything done is because all of them are just busy enough trying to kill each other that they let us do things.
Yeah. So, we're going to meet some of them here in this book, which we should get started on.
Yeah, sure, why not?
The prologue is pretty much just chapter one. Maybe it's going to take a long time before we see that character again. I don't know. But boy, oh boy, do I hope we see a lot of him, because his name, folks, his name is Jet Nebula.
Jet Nebula. The Mystery of Planet X, my favorite 50s pulp fiction.
Jet Nebula must retrieve the space pearl of space China.
Oh, Jet Nebula, I know that he's got those little rings around his blaster.
Oh, you know he does. Those little hoopy rings?
Yeah, he's got little hoopy rings.
This is probably the only guy in Star Wars that uses one of those big glass domes for his spacesuit. You know, just the thing that goes over the shoulders of his collared shirt.
Oh, yeah, he's just got, like, a silver jumpsuit and then a giant fishbowl on there, and he's like, ha-ha, space!
Jet Nebula, here I go.
You're like, woman's not wearing gloves. Your hands are exposed. Don't need them. Ha-ha, Jet Nebula.
Woman, strap that backpack of power on me and then go make sandwiches for the boys.
Oh, Jet Nebula.
Thankfully, that's just the name. He's not actually like that. He is very clearly the smuggler archetype.
Yeah.
From this game, although he's fallen on hard times and has currently been forced to turn to piracy to make ends meet.
Well, technically...
Privateering.
He is working for... Well, he is supposed to be working for the Republic.
Yes.
As a privateer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see him, it is mid-mutiny
yeah.
as his first mate has a blaster in his back and being like, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and attack this ship that just came out of warp because we have a little interdictor that
which is
pulls
surprising.
Things out of warp.
Yeah.
And they're like, great, we're gonna steal everything on there, and now I'm gonna give it to the Hutts.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of our first mate who's turning on him. I know it's Shinko, but I can't remember his last name. He's a Rodian, so...
Yeah, he's a Rodian.
But it's something or other. So he's got... Yeah, he's got a pirate first mate who he's already regretting having recruited. Although this guy's got a very laissez-faire attitude on life and his job, because...
I love him.
Yeah, Jet Nebula seems like a fun main character. And we're gonna, right after him, jump into some boring-ass Jedi Knights and Sith Warriors and so on. And the whole time I'm just like, let me get back to Jet Nebula.
I want to know what Jet Nebula's up to.
What's his drink? I want to copy it.
He's definitely going to go across some planetscape that looks like the Arizona Badlands.
Oh, yeah. So he's mid-mutiny being forced to conduct a pirate raid at the behest of his crew, who have turned against him. His crew, as far as we know, consists of one droid who's on his side and is a very unusual droid. I cannot get a read on this thing. Its name is Clunker. It boxes around, so it sounds like it might be a gonk. But apparently it's nimble enough to take the gun right out of this Rodian dude's hand in a minute.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it has arms and hands, so it is definitely not a gonk.
Yeah. I like to assume it kind of looks like bollocks. Remember bollocks?
Yeah, it looks like bollocks. A couple of big bollocks.
Just a big pair of swanging bollocks.
Uh-huh.
No, bollocks, the character from when we did the Han Solo adventures.
Uh-huh.
And there were those two droids, and the one lived inside the other one. And their names were Castor and Bollocks because they wanted to be close but not quite on the nose.
Yeah.
But Bollocks was like an old school work droid who was like if a C-3PO was made out of cardboard boxes.
Yeah. But the fact that we don't get any description or what it is, I'm like, that's fine.
It's okay.
Whatever. But yeah, this Rodian is just like, oh, he has a small contingent that's like, oh, we're taking control. And mostly the way we are taking control is he's like, you're going to go get this. You're going to tell my guys to go over there and grab it,
mm-hmm.
and then we're just going to sort of commandeer their ship and fly off with it and take all their treasure, and you can explain to the Republic why you don't have anything, because I don't give a shit.
And why you committed an act of open piracy. So, but he doesn't really want to do that, but he doesn't have a choice. There's a gun in his ribs. Clunker is apparently a quite intelligent droid and is sort of making his way up to provide help when Jet manages to sort of shake his head and drive him off.
Yeah, gives him a little shake and is like, nah, not yet. I'm not seeing yet. How this works out.
Instead, I don't know how he does this. Maybe Clunker's just smart. He knows to go take his entire box-ass body and go stand in the doorway so no one can get in or out of this cockpit.
Yeah. I mean, this droid rules.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Clunker, but we're into him.
Yeah.
So, he's forced at gunpoint, not Clunker, Jet, is forced to contact the ship and say, like, hey, we're going to take you over. And for some reason, he uses some really flowery pirate language to do so.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, avast me, beauties, you've been nicked.
And they're like, what?
What? I'm sorry.
He's like, oh, sorry. Okay, we're going to take your shit. Oh, okay, that's better.
And they're like, no, we aren't going to do that. We're on a diplomatic mission. To which he responds, pretty straightforward. He's like, yeah, we hear that a lot. That's a pretty normal way to try to get out of piracy. No.
You're definitely not. We're definitely taking what you have.
They try a bribe, which Jet's like, hey, I'm always willing to entertain a bribe because I'd rather not risk my guys and all
the
work.
And he's like, dude, you want this for the Hutts. The Hutts don't give a shit about whether or not they got their money from, like, loot or someone giving them just cash.
Yeah.
If we take the bribe, you can fuck off with it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But Shingo's like, nah, man, I want to get on there. Fuck these guys.
Well, because he doesn't want to, you know, he can't make this keep working. He can't keep mutineering.
Well, also, it isn't like a mutiny in the standard sense of like, oh, the captain did something stupid and the entire crew turns on him. This is much more just Shinko had a couple of plants.
Two Celestins, yeah.
Hut guys. And he's like, oh, this isn't so much a mutiny as it is me, like, going to take over for a bit and then fuck off. I'm not, like, trying to take over your ship.
Exactly. He needs the other ship for this whole stupid mutiny plan to work.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, if I go down there, like, Jet even goes, yeah, man, if you try and go down there and tell all of these guys that they're not going to get anything, like, you're not going to get off of this ship if they know.
Yeah. So Shinko's like, no, you're going to send my guys. We're going to raid the ship. So basically, he's like, your offer of a bribe has been unfortunately rejected. Prepare to be boarded. And they respond with, that will never happen. And then the ship, which is at this point identified itself via block letters written on the side of it and in no other way as the Cinzia,
yep,
with a C, explodes.
Yeah. I mean, Jet's at the controls and he gets just he's very good at this. He's a good pilot and captain. Notices the fluctuations in the other ship's energy signature and immediately tries to haul and get the fuck away from it as fast as possible.
Shields up. Yeah.
Covers his eyes. And this is enough to make sure that this ship doesn't get blown up in the blast, but also knocks the Rodian into Clunker, which just grabs the gun away from him.
Yeah.
And Shinko's like, hey, you fucker. What the hell did you do? And he's like, one, I saved us. And two, hey, man, you don't even have a gun anymore. You should probably shut the fuck up.
I love that he's like looks down where his gun should be. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? And now he's looking around on the ground to see where it is. But no, Clunker has it and is pointing it at him.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, man, your mutiny failed, but it's fine.
I'm not that mad about it.
I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
And immediately they get into a conversation for like, dude, that was fucking wild. Did you just see that shit?
Did that thing blow itself up? And yeah, Shinko's like, all right, I guess we'll, you know, let's look into it. There's big pieces floating off. There might still be some loot in the big pieces, which Jet's like ruminating like, man, this guy just tried to mutineer me and leave me for dead, but I did hire him for a reason. He is a really good first mate.
Yeah.
I feel like, no, he isn't. There's like pretty much two major qualifications to be a first mate.
Yeah.
One of them is no mutinies.
Well, a little mutiny.
As a treat, yeah. But yeah, he's like, this guy's still a pretty good first mate. It's fine. I genuinely don't care.
I mean, the fact that Shinko, after this thing blows up, just immediately is like, oh, my plan fell apart. Well, whatever. He goes back to his station and is like, all right, so that was weird. They blew themselves up rather than let us have whatever they had. Yeah, that sounds like they had something fucking important, didn't it? Yeah, we should probably see if we can get something out of this wreckage. There's got to be even parts of whatever they were willing to die to not give to someone has to be important.
Yeah, so they are now picking through the wreckage, and that is where the prologue ends. We have no idea what they will actually discover, if anything at all.
Yep.
But the name Cinzia shall be very important going forward.
Indeed.
But not for the next chapter. You have to wait a chapter.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. No, it's at the end of the first chapter and most of the second chapter.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those books where each chapter has like three little mini stories in it, which I hate because I always like it better when I'm like, here's what happened in this chapter so I can remember it. In these, I always forget. This is like fucking Shadows of the Empire, where it was like every chapter had five little chunks in it, and I'd never remember what the fuck happened when.
Ah.
But this chapter, I do recall, chapter one opens with a Jedi whose name is like Shingar or something, being told he will not be considered for Jedi knighthood at the moment.
Yeah. Now, he is...
Shigari? I'll look it up.
He is the apprentice of the big Jedi, like, Grandmaster Satel Shan.
Yeah.
And so the fact that her Padawan is being denied, and this guy's like 18. So
yeah,
it's not like, oh, he's, you know, 14 or whatever, and they're not going to let him do it yet. He is straight up 18 years old. He's been doing this for a while. But they're like, look, all of your progress, we get a bunch of updates from Satil. She's got nothing but glowing remarks for you, but you need to learn how to keep your fucking mouth shut.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a Kiffar, although I don't believe they actually say the name anywhere in this chapter.
I mean, it's in the Dramatis Personae.
It's in the Dramatis Personae. There are a couple of Kiffar we're going to meet here. They're near humans. If it's setting off any alarm bells for anyone, it's because Quinlan Vos, the almost always nearly in live action, but will never actually make it to live action, fucking Tarzan looking asshole from the Old Republic or from the prequel era, is a Kiffar as well.
Oh.
So if it's tickling your nerves, it's because of Quinlan Vos, who I don't know what the fuck deal is with that guy, because I haven't watched the Clone Wars shows where he turns up all the time, apparently.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
He got in trouble with the Jedi Council because he talked to someone about, some real prequel era shit, like trade stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it was even a Nymoidian. It was like some Nymoidian senator named Voob.
Yeah, that's the one who's after him, because he apparently talked to someone who was part of the press,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, oh, yeah, this person came up and started, like, glad-handing him and really, like, playing him up and going, oh, you're doing such a great job. We really love all the things you're doing. Of course, it's such a shame that this various trade thing is happening. And, you know, he's just some 18-year-old who doesn't really know better, went, yeah, it really sucks how the Republic is handling that. But having a Jedi go, the Republic is handling their shit poorly, is not a good thing for them to have happen.
It's not politically especially wise. It's a weird era in galactic history where there's so many Jedi around, but they are much more beholden to the national government.
Yes.
Like even, you know, in the prequel era, you had that one tower on Coruscant that's stuffed full of Jedi, and they do act as generals of the Republic military and everything, but you never see anything about their political expedient or value, even though one of them ends up becoming groomed by a senator and everything. It just never seems to matter. There's never a part where anyone, like, interviews Anakin and he says something stupid because he's fucking Anakin.
Yeah, you don't really get the, you know, local Jedi ends up on evening news saying that, you know, local politician is asshole.
I don't understand why we don't give him a second chance. In the Jedi Order, we try to train everyone into becoming a powerful Jedi Knight who learns the value of humility. And but this guy's a triple mass murderer. Yeah, well, so's Master. No one knows that about him, and he's turned out great. Oh, no, I've said the wrong thing. It's weird that we haven't seen that storyline quite yet. But he's getting kind of rejected by a Jedi Master. I forget their name, but they were Thispassian.
Thispiassian.
Thispiassian.
And this guy is just, like, real mean until Satel Shan says something, and then he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. The Jedi is the one who is training this person. So gets real, like, oh, you need to learn how to, you know, keep your mouth shut, and that's a lesson you should figure out before you can become a real Jedi Knight. And Satel Shan is like, hey, how about you shut the fuck up? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. My bad.
It's pretty great. By the way, I just want to point this out. I don't want to go too deep into Thispiassians because I know that they're probably your thing. But with that name,
There's no way I wasn't going to look up what a Thispiassian was.
Now, I knew off the top of my head, but the reason I'm bringing it up is just because I appreciate that this book came out in 2010.
Uh-huh.
And that means that it's about the Old Republic era, but the most recent actual Star Wars media to be hitting the waves is the Clone Wars cartoon and the prequel movies.
Yeah.
And so this thing is stuffed to the gills with prequel era aliens, which, as far as the modern era is concerned, might as well have all been vaporized by the Death Star. Like, we get a Thispiassian, we get a Nutholin at one point, and we even get the Nymoidians getting mentioned here.
Yep.
So it's wild to me that we're doing that because, you know, you don't see a fucking Gungan in the sequel movies. There's no Gungans, Nymoidians, Nautolans, whatever the Assyrians. None of that shit makes its way into Force Awakens.
No,
it's because they were like, well, those things were all CGI creations. We won't fucking touch that with a 10-foot pole ever again. And also, if we mention anything from the prequels, anyone might get mad at us.
Yeah, no, Force Awakens was just the please don't be mad at me movie.
Yes. Here's Return of the Jedi again. Please be my friend.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, fucking, I've said it before. I know people often cite Force Awakens as their favorite one of those movies.
Really?
Yeah, because it's less controversial than the other two.
Yeah.
But to me, it's basically like, what if the Star Tours ride lasted two hours? Because it's just like playing the hits. It's just like, hey, you like stuff about Star Wars? Here's that exact stuff you like again.
Anyway,
So the Thespiassian, whose name I wish I remembered, I'm sorry, is trying. He's even reaching into Shigar's mind, because Shigar's sitting there like, "What? I didn't say anything too bad. Oh no, now he's going to go into this. Oh, I got to master my emotions," and that causes the Jedi Master who's presenting his appointment to be like, even now I can sense that you've got weird doubts.
I mean, it's not even going into his mind, because it is just a hologram. He's not even close to there. He's just like, I can see you trying to not yell at me.
Distance doesn't matter to the Force. You'd think it would, because you'd probably have some kind of transmission time inherent in this conversation.
Nah, everything's connected. Yeah, it flows through us.
Hyperspace bypass or whatever.
It's all connected.
Yeah, everything's fine. But that's another one where Satel's like, dude, get out of his head. That's not fair. He's mastered his emotions. He's standing there. You don't need him to also think. What kind of double think shit is that? Leave him alone. But they're like, yeah, Satel is obviously like the high Jedi. She's the most powerful one out of all of us. And in a lot of situations, we are more or less forced to defer to her wisdom. But in this situation, she's outvoted. You are not getting your Jedi Master thing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Your Jedi Knight thing.
Fucking Shigar even thinks, like, he gets kind of mad at Satel, because he's just like, oh, if she wanted to, she could just overrule this shit. She could go, no, fuck you. He does.
Yeah.
But he then is like, well, it's probably because I am her Padawan that she's like, I can't just do that, because that would look real fucking shitty if she went, no, he's good, and just shoved me through.
Yeah, it would look real shitty if you were to go up in front of the Jedi Council and be like, yeah, I heard all your shit that you said, but I'm going to train this kid.
Oh, already trained this kid.
I'm just saying that it's got a fun parallel to Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Nah.
When he shows, because basically, he gets to hang around with Qui-Gon, and then when Qui-Gon dies, he pops up in front of the council. He's like, I'm just going to train this kid. My master was going to do it, now I'm going to do it. Fuck you. What's the worst that could happen? Oh, boy. What, are you going to kill a bunch of sand people? I'd like to see that.
What, is he going to kill a bunch of kids here?
And then a bunch of kids here, and then all of you?
Except for you, Master Yoda. You're cool. We're cool.
Oh, if he doesn't kill me, I'm going to go real crazy and hit droids with meat.
Well, I'm hitting droids with meat every weekend. You know what I'm saying. This guy gets it.
Yeah.
Hey, clunker.
But yeah, Satel can tell that Shigar's really pissed about this whole development.
Yeah.
And so she tells him to go take a walk while she goes off to have political arguments.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to go try and smooth some shit over and figure out what's going on and then, you know, discover a way forward so that, you know, next time this comes up, you'll be fine to go through the Jedi Knight stuff.
Uh-huh.
But you go clear your head, because I can tell, like, I don't need to, you know, use the Force on you or anything. You got a clenched jaw, man. Take a walk.
Yeah, go take a little walk. Now, Shigar agrees to do this and goes and takes a little walk, apparently through the lower bowels of Coruscant. I'm still not sure why he's doing that. He does have some thought processes that are going on here about how Coruscant was recently won back from the Galactic Empire. And by the way, get used to us talking as if this was the modern era of Star Wars. There's an empire and a republic.
Yeah.
There's an emperor. And at this point, I'm pretty sure he just looks like the fucking emperor.
Yeah. I mean, you never see his face. It's always just the whole, like, oh, there's a dude in a big cloak.
Whoa, way to admit you never played the Jedi Knight storyline all the way through.
No. I would never.
You do get to see him.
Oh,
there's two classes or things you can play as where you do get to see him in all of his boring, just looking like the Emperor in shitty armor glory.
Lol.
But anyway, so he's going for a walk and thinking about how things are really hard right now, because while they did get Coruscant back in exchange, they had to give up a lot of concessions in other worlds all over the place. There's been a recent Treaty of Coruscant that was orchestrated by big deal character from this era, Revan. And I believe the Emperor. So the Treaty of Coruscant is sort of like an armistice deal made between the Empire and the Senate. It'll only last like 10 years. So we're existing in a very small frame of time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole thing right now was the Sith showed up, took over Coruscant, and then gave it back for a bunch of territory so that there could be an Empire and a Republic.
Yes.
So they're in kind of a Cold War, except they are just openly fighting in various places, but it's not at a war.
It's very similar to the World of Warcraft dichotomy, if we're using anything from recent history as an example, largely because this game is an absolute World of Warcraft ripoff.
Eh.
So you just have these two sides who are like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if you go to like Gadget Zan or something, you can stand around neutrally next to them and not fight each other. But also you can just openly PvP anywhere you want. Anyway. So while he's going for his little walk, he's thinking about something called the PCR, which is basically like the a group that's whose job it is to help provide resources to the people on Coruscant and throughout the Republic that are kind of failing, because most of the concessions they gave up were powerful and important manufacturing and farm worlds.
Yeah.
And then he hears some important screaming and he's off to join the plot.
Oh no, something's happening over there. And he gets his lightsaber out and runs, and then we cut to a trooper.
We cut to a, we switch perspectives to, what's her name, Lena? I'll look it up. Some trooper. We're going to have to get used to these new names.
Yeah. Now, our new trooper who is on her way.
Laren Moxla.
Yeah, Laren is on her way to go try and, I guess, single-handedly stop a big Black Sun Syndicate hideout.
Yeah.
She's outside of it and is like, all right, I'm going to. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose inside of it. Just shots firing, people screaming, like, she can hear a turret-mounted gun going off as well as a flamethrower, and she's like, what the fuck is happening in there?
So she's, like, trying to get her armor to work. She's, like, uncomfortable. She's not happy with the idea that she's going to have to charge in there. I'm not personally even sure why she is. Like,
well, I mean,
I guess she works for the Republic because she is a trooper. She's a commando, which is one of the classes you could play as in that game. But we don't have any point where she's like, well, someone ordered me to go alone and flush out this nest of Black Sun operatives.
No, I mean, later in the chapter when she is talking to Shigar, she is very much like, oh, I believe in actual justice and trying to keep the peace and doing what I can for people. So I'm just, you know, basically a cop, but an actual one that tries to do decent things.
Uh-huh.
And
which still doesn't make a lick of sense. It's like, yeah, but you're a part of a chain of command. You're a military officer. Like, what are you doing out here? Why were you here in the first place?
I mean, mostly to take care of these Black Sun people.
I guess.
But she, at that point, of course, in hearing the flamethrower, she has the thing where she's like, oh, that's definitely someone that does not live here, because you don't use a fucking flamethrower unless you don't give a shit about setting everything here on fire.
Yeah.
If you're a local, you don't do that. You're not throwing bombs and using flamethrowers if you live somewhere.
Yeah.
Because you need to live there.
Yes. And you don't necessarily want to cause that much bad blood by killing off. So it's probably an off-world influence, whoever's in there doing this. And to her, it sounds like there's an army in there. But that's when one guy comes out, because it's all been a fucking Mandalorian, because Star Wars books can't stop giving hand jobs to Mandos.
Yeah. And, you know, she's got her gun raised and is like, hey, that's far enough. And he's like, far enough for what?
What? What do you need?
And he's like, oh, you need to tell me what you were doing in there. Oh, I was just killing all those guys. She's like, why? Why do you care? They were Black Sun. You don't look like you're Black Sun.
You look like you were here to stop them. She's like, well, it seems like you were unnecessarily harsh. Yeah, well, they didn't tell me what I want to know. By the way, do you know what I want to know? And as he's saying that, he raises his arm and reveals the little shield gauntlet.
She's like, I'm the one asking questions. He's like, no, you're not. I'm a Mandalorian. Shut the fuck up.
What do you think you're going to fucking do? And he raises his arm because, well, if you're playing as the bounty hunter, which I have played through the entire storyline of in that game, wrist-mounted flamethrowers are absolutely a major part of your kit.
Yep.
To the point where they can be the thing you focus on. That's one of the specs you can play as the pyrotech, where I'm like, I just do flame shit.
I am all about rockets and flamethrowers.
Yeah. So he raises his arm to point a flamethrower at her, and she's like, well, fuck. I what? And he's like, so I'm looking for a person by the following name. And goddamn, I'm gonna have to start remembering the names out of this book. Because there is an important name that he needs to find. Someone important.
Well, yeah, he wants to know about the Cinzia, and then also a specific person.
Yes. Yeah, he is looking for a woman. But basically, right before he launches the flamethrower at him, we switch back to the perspective of Shigar.
Lima Zandrit.
Yes, that's right. Lena Zandrit.
Lima.
Lima Zandrit, who is, it's not a real, no, it's a real name.
Yes, it
is. Yeah, it's a real name. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting it's Eldon Axe that's not a real name.
We'll
figure all this out. There's a lot of boring
fantasy goober names.
There's
a bunch of goofity bullshit names.
No one's on the level of fucking Jet Nebula.
Yeah. If you have a name like Jet Nebula, I will immediately know your name and it will be seared in my brain. If your name is Lima Zandrit, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Jet Nebula is a name that's got like a shelf full of hot goth tit on it. That's a quality name. Lima Zandrit's like, what is that? Like a Star Wars place? Is that somewhere you go?
Yeah, that could be anything.
Yeah, it tells me nothing. Jet Nebula, I want to know this guy.
Jet Nebula, that's a cool dude. I want to have a beer with Jet Nebula.
Yeah. Anyway, we switch back to Shigar, who has arrived on the scene and takes in the view of a lonely trooper who is way in over her head because she's fighting a Mandalorian, which again makes me feel like you got to knock it off with the hand jobs. Mandalorian or Bounty Hunter was just one of the starter classes in this game. It doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
It's just some other blowjob.
But it is wild to me how much they do that to Mandalorians. And then it's like, and then a fucking space wizard with a super laser sword shows up. And he's like, oh no, I don't think I can take this guy, a man with a gun.
Well, technically a Mandalorian is a man with a jetpack that's covered in missiles and lots of micro-missiles and flamethrowers and net launchers and
oh, yeah.
Just
but
all kinds of shit.
He's even like, oh, Satel Shan specifically trained me to fight Mandalorians.
Yeah.
Because he's like, all right, I'm going to charge this guy. I immediately go into a stance that lets me cut through the net that he is obviously going to shoot at me.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as he shoots the net, he just slices a hole through it and keeps going.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but it still doesn't hold a candle to the best discussion of how to fight Jedi that you ever get in any of these books, which is media properties, which is from the original KOTOR, when HK-47, who is an assassin droid, is explaining how he hunts and kills Jedi, and he's like, they block laser blasts. You can't lightsaber stop an explosion. You just mine the area and then blow them up where they're standing.
Yeah.
Or hit them with fire. There's all kinds of ways to do it. Everyone else just shoots lasers at them. Those guys are idiots.
Yeah.
But they get into a quick fight, and he's thinking, this is his most of his training. He'll shoot a net at me. He'll shoot a flamethrower at me. He'll shoot a rocket at me. He'll do anything he can to not engage in close combat.
Yeah.
Because I have a laser sword, and he has a million guns. So I need to close the distance. But yeah. This one is really big.
Yeah, this guy, however, is immediately like, oh, he got through my net and he like knocked my arm away with the force for the flamethrower. And he just takes his other hand and like rockets forward and slams him, like choke slams him into a wall.
Yeah. By the way, we also know his name already because he did say that much to yes. Laren earlier. And he's got another one of those names you can remember because it's Dow Striver.
Ah, Dow Striver.
Yeah. So Dow Striver gets into an immediate brawl. Shigar is right. He gets, he dodges a blaster, he reflects a blaster bolt, cuts the net apart, and then unexpectedly, as he tries to charge in, he's just met by a jetpack choke slam, which Dow does not want to fight and kill a Jedi and a trooper. He wants to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much as he's like, the trooper opens fire and it just kind of bounces off the Beskar.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't need this heat and I've got shit to do. So he just jetpacks up and is like, all right, you know the best way to handle this? I'm going to blow up this entire fucking house.
Yeah, so he just shoots rockets all over the place to start causing everything to fall down, and then he just gets the fuck out of there. Admittedly, he doesn't get out of there by jetpack, because Shigar is pretty competent for a starter Jedi, because the first thing he does is when he sees him try to take off with the jetpack is reach out with the force and slam him sideways into a wall, and when he does so, he breaks the guy's jetpack.
Yeah, just breaks the exhaust port on it, and he's like, go fuck yourself, my
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, no flying.
He's like, fine, I have a fucking grappling hook. I don't give a shit.
I guess I'll, yeah, because that's how he gets him in the first place, the grapple shot. And then he just runs away.
Yeah, he just grapples up, starts shooting, because it's Coruscant has all of those many levels, he just starts shooting at the various ceilings of things around there and is like, I'm just going to drop a shitload of debris on you. And the second, like, Shigar tries to get up to where he is, he's like, and rocket, and I'll shoot a giant smoke bomb there.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he uses the force to just push the smoke away and then looks around, he's like, I can't even find him using my force senses, so this guy's just gone.
Yeah, so he moves on to try and help the trooper who got knocked down but is not particularly injured or anything during the fight. And when she removes her helmet, both of them are stunned because he's got... So you can tell a Kifar, they look exactly like humans as far as I'm aware. The only one I have a known image of in my head is Quinlan Voss, and he just looks like a dopey guy with terrible dreadlocks and a bunch of yellow tattoos on his face.
Yeah.
Which is awful. Yellow is a terrible tattoo color.
Wow.
But apparently the face tattoos are a part of it. That's how you can tell a Kifar.
Yeah. And she's got like he has little blue like chevrons on his cheek. So you can tell he's from one of the clans.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she takes her helmet off, he's like, oh shit, you are from not currently, but sort of the historically antagonistic clan to ours. Like,
yeah.
in, you know, our olden days, like, we were big enemies. It does not matter. We're out in the universe. Who gives a shit now?
Yeah. So he's basically, whoa, you're from the rival clan. And she literally just goes, what are we doing, ancient history? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, come on. Who fucking cares? He's like, yeah, my grandma always told me not to trust someone from your clan. And she's
yeah,
like,
that's
wow, your grandma sucks.
Yeah, at the very end, she's like, let's go talk to your vaunted Jedi master together. And he's like, wait, you're coming with me? And she's like, yeah, how else are we going to figure out what you do? My mom always said, never trust a Conchi. I don't know why Conchi is the one word from this book that sticks in my head outside of Jet Nebula.
Jet Nebula.
But I guess that's what clan he is.
They go into the Dark Sun hideout and... it is just an absolute slaughterhouse in there. Just weapons and bodies everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But they do manage to find one living Nautolan.
See? Another prequel species. I love it.
Nautolan's been around.
What?
What? Nautolan isn't specifically prequel, is it?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's Kit Fisto.
Yeah. I'm saying they were used, but they weren't, like, made for the prequels, were they?
You've never seen one but Kit Fisto. There has never been another Nautolan on screen.
Huh.
They're in the, I believe... you might be able to see them in the in this MMO.
Yeah, I'm just saying, in like West End game shit, Nautolans were a thing that existed before the prequels.
I don't believe that's true. I believe Kit Fisto was a creation of the prequels.
All right.
But we can find that out later. Maybe we'll check on that for bonus content.
Who knows?
Yeah. I'm just saying I'm excited to see these species because the whole thing where the sequel era dumped all of these and replaced them all with Abednegoes. I'm like... let's see some of these cool dudes again.
Why do you keep replacing everything with this great meatball soup?
Abednegoes are they are hard to describe. They kind of look like manatees or seals, and they're all named after Beastie Boys references.
Yeah.
Like every one of them. So you got like L.O. Asti and so on.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to where we were. The two of them go in. They find a Nautolan, who is still alive, but they don't have any... yeah. Unfortunately, our trooper is not the healing kind of trooper, because you can be.
Which I was on my trooper.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool because the healers get the big fucking cannon.
Yeah.
And it's the best visual to walk around with that fucking underslung giant carry around cannon and then just fire it back to goop all over everybody that's on your team.
Yeah, I'm just straight out of Ghostbusters 2. Just be like, here you go. I'm going to hose your ass down with Bacta.
Yeah. Basically, you walk around with a super soaker full of Bactine and you're just like, oh, you got a cut? Hang on. Here you go. Pump, pump, pump. They're like, no, it's going to fucking sting.
You get to drink from the hose.
Class fantasy achieved.
But yeah, this guy is like laser burned on half of him. He's got like those little darts that they shoot has nicked an artery. He is bleeding out.
Yeah, one of his arms is missing and the other is gone.
And they rush up and they're like, oh, hey, what the fuck is, what's happening? And he's like, oh, this guy fucked our shit up. I'm real fucked.
He's looking for Lima, Zandret, and the Cinzia. Cinzia.
Rosebud.
And then he dies. Yeah. So yeah, Cinzia is going to be real important.
But, you know, like I said, that's the point where like, oh, well, I guess we better tell someone about this because that was fucked up.
Yeah. And our hero, Shigar's like, hey, good news. I know one of the core NPCs.
I can go talk to one of the most powerful people in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And she's like, great. I'm coming with you because I have no fear about talking to the most important person in the Republic.
Also, there's no one I need to go talk to. I don't know what a chain of command is or anything.
No,
I'm not due back on duty until 0900.
Man, if you do the trooper storyline, you're just like, I don't give a fuck. I'll go wherever the fuck I want.
There is a point in the trooper storyline where you're pretty much just cut loose. You're just like, congratulations, you're an independent agent.
You get full A-teamed.
Yeah.
Because your boss goes bad and is like, fuck you, you're like...
semi-rogue or whatever.
You are currently like being framed for some shit, so you have to go rogue for a little bit.
I assume it's very similar to... I finally broke down and watched some of that CGI Star Wars TV show stuff, which is Bad Batch.
Uh-huh.
And it's about clone troopers who are like still technically helping out the rest of the clones and like the senators and so on, but they still report to a military chain of command, but they are entirely independent in how they're doing it. So I assume it's a lot like that.
Kind
of. But
yeah.
You get your Jingo droid and your...
I love Jingo Bot. Jingoism Bot is the best.
Yeah. If you play as the trooper, one of your four or five NPCs they give you is a big droid that's like fully equipped for battle. It does not look like an R2 unit.
It is a giant like
tank,
four-legged super combat droid, and it's just like, ha ha, I love the Republic and destroying its foes. Ha-ha-ha.
Just constantly spouting Republic statements and everything. It's fucking fantastic.
Laser death to the Empire.
Yeah. Free beverages to the Republic.
Yeah. Jingoism bot rules.
Yeah. So anyway, she's like, I'm just going to go with you. And he's like, what? Why would you come with me? Because I don't trust you. Never trust a conchi. Why not? Not, not, not. Chapter two.
So we head into the next chapter and we go to the other side. We get a Sith apprentice who is on her, her way back to Drummond Koss.
Yeah, she's just failed in some sort of important mission. Apparently, it's a different... Okay, so I'm not sure if she was also in this safe house. I don't think she was, but she also just lost a fight to Dow Striver.
Yes. I mean, she might have been in that safe house because her whole deal is she was like, oh, I was trying to infiltrate a criminal organization to get information, which is weird. Because I'm a Sith, why am I doing, like, deep undercover shit?
Yeah, why am I doing agent work? We have agents for that exact job.
We have people to do that. There's nothing about me being a Sith that's going to help with that. And probably hurt, because being a Sith, I've probably got weird black veins all over me, because I'm all nasty.
Okay, so it might be... I mean, we never do establish, with either of our two Jedi characters, what type they are. Because there are two types of Jedi for each side. So
both of them are technically... not fully Jedi yet.
Yeah, they're not. They're initiates, but even then, the initiates, you still pick which class you're going to go into at the start. And she might be an infiltrator, at which point her job is stealth and subterfuge and discovery. We don't know.
Definitely our Jedi is...
probably a knight.
A knight.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a knight or... it's Marauder. That was the name of the Sith bad guy one.
The Sith ones are Marauders or...
Infiltrator.
Oh, I was thinking of the other melee one that's the Juggernaut or... Marauder.
Yeah, those are the specs, I think. Yeah, but Infiltrator is the other class where you can use the double blade sabers.
Yeah.
So she might be one of those. We don't know. But she was supposed to go and get info, and instead of getting any info, she got her ass kicked, and she was interrogated by Dow Striver. Thankfully, she didn't give up any information, which is weird, because normally if a Mandalorian gets a hold of a Sith person and interrogates them, he will finish that interrogation by killing them. So whatever's going on with Striver, he's not in a hurry to kill people.
Well,
outside of Black Sun.
I mean, he wasn't like, oh, I need to kill all these people. He's like, I want information. The only reason he killed anyone there is like, oh, they pulled weapons on me, so I killed them.
Yeah.
And she was like, I very intelligently just sort of tried to fight him a bit, and when I lost, went, all right, I'm good.
Okay, what do you need?
So, I'm not going to tell you anything, and don't know anything that you want me to know.
So she is preparing to go face her master, and she is a little trepidatious about it because, she's got a tough master. Again, we've already made our jokes in this episode about how the Sith hierarchy works and how it's fucking stupid. And she's like, 1 in 3 of this guy's trainees do not make it to age 18 so they can take the test.
Yeah, he's just... oh,
or no, 2 in 3 don't make it.
Yeah, most of the people who end up being this dude's apprentices just sort of... get got before they ever become actual Sith.
He becomes moderately displeased with them and murders them himself.
Yeah.
66% of the time.
So she's like, I failed, but it would be a certainty that I will die if I, like, try to lie to him or fuck off and not report in. Like, if I don't just show up and tell him what he wants to know... I will for sure get killed. At least this way, I've got like a 1 in 3 shot of not.
Yeah, the best chance she has here is that the truth might set her free. So she's going to face down her master and is kind of running in her head through what's just happened. She got in a fight with Dow Striver. He asked her some weird questions. She told him the truth about those questions because none of them compromised her position.
No, she was just like, I do not have any idea what the fuck a Lima or a Cinzia is.
Yeah.
So sorry, my man.
Yeah. So now she goes to meet her master, who sleeps in a fucking coffin.
Well,
sort of.
He spends an hour in a sarcophagus that is cut off from all air and everything else so that he can subsist entirely on pure bitch hatred for an hour every day.
So once a day, he goes into an everything deprivation tank and has to live on raw hate. So this dude can survive in space, probably.
I mean, this is, speaking of, the Emperor, he is a nasty, wrinkly, obviously evil, like got claw-like nails and sounds like he's walking on dry leaves when he's barefoot.
There's a part where he sticks his tongue out in thought and it's described as being so pale that it appears to be translucent. And I'm like, oh, you should have just gone the extra step. This dude's got a see-through tongue. Don't worry. That's great.
He is just a nasty, gross little man.
Yeah.
And he's like, What have you brought for me?
Yeah. Now, his name is Darth Kratos or Kratos? Kratos, C-H-R.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's just Krait.
Yeah, I assume it's Kratos.
Yeah, so Darth Kratos and our Sith, I'm assuming infiltrator, but I might be wrong, our main character Jedi bad or Sith bad guy.
I assume because they haven't gone through the full training, they haven't picked their subclass yet.
That could
They're
very well
the base
be.
Base class.
Yeah. But again, I mean, that's you've got your spec and class confused in this. Remember that you do pick one of two Jedi types
to start.
That's what
I'm saying. They are a Sith, but they have not decided to be a Juggernaut or a, like, whatever.
Okay, sure. Anyway, her name's Eldon Axe.
Yep.
And if you think that's a pretty cool sounding name, like Eldon Axe, that's, you know, that'll work for everybody. That's not her name, though.
I mean, it is.
It will remain her name, even.
It's not her birth name.
Not her birth name. We're going to find out that she has a secret birth name.
Yeah. We won't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. We just know her real name wasn't Eldon Axe. But she's going to face her master. Now, he wakes up and he's like, doesn't even ask her any questions. He just pops up and he's like, oh, so you failed.
Oh, you fucked up. So, yeah. What's going on?
What's going on? Why won't I kill you?
You interrupted my pure bitch hatred moment. Uh-huh. So, what's going?
And she's like, okay, I was on Droman Kos as ordered. I went to the location. I did the stuff. And then a Mandalorian showed up and he caught me unprepared and just knocked me into a wall and pretty much rang my clock.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't
kill me. And he's like, oh, well, did he not kill you because you gave up the Empire's secrets?
And she's like, no, he did interrogate me. He asked me if I knew Lima Zandret or anything about the Cinzia.
Yeah. And that's what gets her master to be like, oh, shit. And just like fucking super teleport across the room and be like, what the? Did you fucking tell him anything?
Yeah. Like she looks down in confusion for a second. And when she looks back up, he's immediately adjacent to her, like pushing her into the wall. And he's like,
oh, yeah. And that is great because she mentions like, oh, when he gets out of the chamber, his feet are so nasty that it sounds like he's walking on dry leaves when he's walking around. And then he just silently and instantly covers the distance and is like, what the fuck did you say?
There's our answer. She's going to be an infiltrator. Her master is definitely one because he's super stealthy. She's going to get to use one of them cool Darth Maul sabers.
Yeah, them double side sabers.
Hell yeah. Good for her. So he pops right up. He's like, what did you tell him? Did you tell him anything? And she's like, no, I don't know anything about either of those. And he's like, right. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know anything about that.
You need to follow me to the fucking library real quick.
Let's go on a walk.
They go to the Droman Kos, which if you don't know, because Droman Kos isn't a thing in modern Star Wars shit, that is the capital of the Sith Empire.
Yes.
The planet is mostly a jungle planet, mm-hmm. but they've got, you know, just giant empire looking territory in there.
It's not the training planet for initiate Jedi, though, so she might have made it past that. That's Tython.
Yeah, I mean, again, Sith, not Jedi.
I'm sorry, Sith.
And they just fucking Droman Kos, everyone has to go there if you're on the Imperial side.
Yeah,
eventually.
After you finish up on Tython.
Yeah, I mean, the bounty hunter and the agent go to fucking Hutt planet first.
Yeah, they start on Nar, whatever. I don't know. It's not one of the
Nar
ones.
Nar, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's not Shaddaa or Espa.
Yeah, and you show up there and
or Hutta. Yeah.
The whole thing is very like we live on this jungle because it's wild and untamed, and so are the Sith. And of course, every Imperial person is like, please, can we be on a planet that isn't constantly raining and shitty?
It also has that fucking Yavin 4 situation where there used to be a really important, like, force-powerful civilization. So there's, like, ancient temples all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
The old Sith used to live here, and there's ghosts and shit or whatever.
They'd have crazy parties. Some of their hot tubs are still warm and full of gross fluids.
Enter this ancient temple of the Sith. It is shag carpeted, wall to ceiling.
Yeah. These people got at us. Even today, you can still find bowls full of keys to buildings that no longer exist.
So they head off to
the library, whatever.
Library,
yeah.
Basically, like, the repository of Imperial knowledge, which is just miles and miles of servers and ridiculous nonsense. And she's like, this is weird, because my master normally calls everyone who works here a huge fucking nerd.
Yeah, he doesn't like any of this shit. He thinks it's useless. And when she's like, oh, I guess we're doing library stuff. So she goes to try and sit in the, like, librarian chair where she can call up the info. He's like, no, get the fuck out of the way.
Oh, yeah, because she's like, well, I'm the apprentice. He's going to be like, now, my apprentice, look up whatever the fuck I want. Do my bidding. She's like, all right, fine. I'll go sit down and be your fucking librarian. He's like, nah, get out. This will be faster if I do it.
I'm the only one who knows where this shit is. You know, he was like, okay, now you sit down and do it. Google big tit reveals dot gif. I'm evil, so I say gif.
That's how you can tell. Only a Sith deals in gifts.
But no, he just pushes her out of the chair. He's like, watch this. And he spends a couple seconds typing through shit and calls up a woman by the name of Lima Zandrette.
And he's like, all right, now, I want you to look at this.
Yeah.
What does this mean to you? And she's like, I don't know, nothing. It's nothing. Just some blonde lady.
I've got nothing on this. And the word Cinzia is appearing next to her. And he's like, okay, now tell me what you know about the recruitment process of Sith warriors. And she's like, well, it's the biggest honor that a family can receive.
And if it's not, you die.
You die. So we have Force sensitives who determine whether or not there are Force-capable people out there in the world. We send retrieval teams to get them. Most families are super honored when it happens, and they hand them over gladly, even though they know they're never going to see that family member again. If they're wrong about that, if they go like, no, we don't want them, then we kill them, and we still take the kid.
Yeah.
They're executed.
And she's like, oh, this file has too big, like, this person needs to be apprehended, they are on the run, notes on it. And she's like, so did they happen to also have a kid and then try and steal them away? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, well, that makes sense. That's apparently what happened with my family. So
what's so fucking important that...
I guess that's why he wanted to interview me, is that I might know something about it because it happened to my family.
But even then, what's so fucking important about what clearly happened a long time ago, based on the dates up there, that this fucking bounty hunter is after him and willing to not quite kill me to try and figure the information out? And he's like... He's laughing at this point, is Kratos. He's like, ah, okay. So the blocks worked. Great. Hey, as a gift, I release you of your mental blocks. You are free to remember what you must. And what's weird is, it works. She instantly remembers that Lima Zandrette is her mother.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter. Like, there's not a point where all of the memories come rushing like feral waves to her mind or whatever. Instead, she just kind of goes, oh, okay. I don't care. That woman's face needs not. Oh.
Since, I mean, I've grown up my entire life thinking that the Sith murdered my family, so just knowing that, oh, I guess one of them might still be around somewhere.
Yeah. And when she looks at the word Cinzia, she's like, oh, that's my name.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I apparently made my fake name to be basically the initials of Lima Zandrette.
Yeah, it's the phoneticized initials of LX.
Yeah.
So you get LX and they become L Dawn Axe.
Yep.
So her name's LX, basically. But none of this matters to her. She puts it together. She's like, oh, wow, my name is stupid. And it doesn't even make sense because that's not even written in English. It's written in Ourabesh. Let's dispense with that.
Okay, let's put that aside for a second.
Setting that aside, because obviously it ruins this whole stupid thing. So my name is stupid. It's actually Cinzia, which I do not resonate with. That is,
I do not care for.
I've looked at myself in the mirror. I do not look like a Cinzia. That sounds like a jumped up space Cynthia anyway.
And, you know, one of the things that gets brought up a couple times here is that Lima and her family, like aunts, uncles, various people that knew Cinzia or
Eldon
when she was a kid and tried to run away with her, were droid makers.
Yes.
So I assume that is going to be an important thing. They have probably made some fucking droid thing that matters, but the whole family was droid makers.
John, I'm going to tell you, they were behind Project Scorpio. You remember that shit?
No.
You didn't play through the agent storyline, did you?
I played through a good chunk of it.
Well, didn't you ever recruit Scorpio? She's like a sexy C-3PO who's all evil. She ends up becoming a major boss during one of the later expansions. It's wild.
Huh?
Yeah. But there's like a whole thing where she's like she's the product of an attempt to create actually fully autonomous and independent droids.
Yeah.
And she goes all rogue and evil and becomes basically like a Bond villain. I mean, her name is Scorpio. What else was going to happen?
Oh, no, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah. She looks a lot more like what's her name from Metropolis or whatever. Yeah. So it's like if C-3PO and Metropolis had a baby,
you'd get
Scorpio. Yeah. None of this is correct. I have no idea what the fuck the plot of this book is. It just made me immediately think of like, what's the coolest fucking droid from this era? And it's her.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, she knows that she's the product of droid makers. But the neat thing about this chapter is that she gets her mental blocks released. She remembers everything about her past and her family, and it doesn't move the needle at all. She's just like, so you want me to go find this lady and kill her or what? I don't care.
What are we doing?
I have zero connection to these images. This means nothing. And he's like, great, perfect.
I am going to, of course, take a bit. You go hang out. I want you to remember everything you can, because as much as you have like the block's taken away and you do remember this person, you also do not have like, oh, I have full recollection of everything immediately. He's like, no, just take a minute and try and remember anything you can about them.
Yes.
Because it might be pertinent.
It'll probably be relevant. And then I'll probably give you a mission. And here's the thing. If you remember enough good stuff and you do this mission well enough, I'm going to give you a real reward, like an actual Sith master to their apprentice reward of, I'll put the blocks back up so you don't have this shit in your head.
And also, if you don't remember anything, we're going in front of the Dark Council to talk about this, so I'll kill you if you don't remember enough.
Because if you
embarrass me in front of my boss, I'm going to murder you.
Well, it does, and it won't really help that I do. It's going to be just something that makes me feel good in the last few seconds of my life before my boss kills me.
Yeah.
So.
But they also have a point where they talk to the Imperial intelligence guy who's like, yeah, some smuggler tried to sell us something based on Cinzia. Like, that name came through our channels. He's trying to sell us something, and he said that, oh, the Republic would pay big money for it. And, of course, you know, through our intelligence channels, we found out he also sent that exact same message reversed to them.
Normally, we just dispense with that kind of shit, because it's not worth the time to go pick up whatever nothing bluff they're trying to sell.
Exactly.
And
enough people try and go, I've got a thing that would help the other side. You better buy it first, and we don't really give a shit.
Yeah. But instead, Kratos is like, no, get him back on the line. We need to go to that auction.
Also, what's his name? Jet Nebula. That guy sounds fucking rad as shit.
Holy shit. Bring me his cool drink.
I want to hang out with that guy. He's definitely a badass.
Jet Nebula, that's a name with some cum gutters.
Yeah, I'd let Jet Nebula fuck my granddaughter.
Always two there are. Me and my cool buddy, Jet Nebula.
We're going to hang out and go across cool planets.
I just want that to be how everyone in the book reacts to this dude.
Everyone meets Jet Nebula and is like, oh, dude, you're sweet. And he's like, I know.
Yeah, of course I am. I'm rad as hell.
Hey, haven't you heard? I'm Jet Nebula.
So, and that's more or less where the chapters end.
Yep, that's it. We have established that there is some weird shit going on, but both sides are currently trying to figure out what's going on with the Cinzia. Why did they blow themselves up? What were they holding on to? What weird thing will cause a clash between these titans? You'll have to stay tuned to find out.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, it'll only be a whole ass book before we get any more story that moves this propulsively, if experience is any indicator.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't work that way. Sometimes they're good.
Sometimes. So far, these first three chapters have all been like, introduce people. Those people immediately have something cool happen and need to go do something. And you're like, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's worked so far. It's been okay. If I had any misgiving, it's just that the book is completely full of the most boring ass Star Wars adjacent names you've ever heard.
Yeah. There's really nothing to hang a hat on here outside of the jet.
I've already forgotten the trooper's name again. It was Loran.
Shinger.
No, Shigar's the Jedi. I think it's Leron.
Yeah, Leron Jankons.
Leron Zankus. I do not know. We'll remember it at some point. It might be Lenar? Laren. It's Laren, but her last name has fallen out of my head again.
Great.
Anyway, as always, if you want to hear more Star Wars stuff, and you know you do, all you got to do is head over to our Patreon and support us at the $4 level or above, where you will receive, oh, such perks, such wonderful perks.
We have such perks to show you.
Oh, hey, believe me, I actually have something that's relevant to that reference to discuss with you this very day.
Ooh, you have a puzzle box for me?
Oh, it's going to be pretty fun. We at the $4 level or above, you will unlock the bonus content for this show, Expanded Expounded Universe, where we go into Wikipedia and we find fun stories from Star Wars to help broaden the narrative, to flesh out the stories that you're not quite getting all of here. But you also get ad-free versions of all of our major shows on one convenient RSS feed, and you also get the bonus content for System Mastery. So you're getting a lot of good shit by supporting us at that $4 level. I can't recommend it enough. In fact, why don't you go do it right now? Drop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin your bank account by having you give me $4.
I will ruin your bank account by $4.
Mm-hmm. A month. Forever.
Ruined.
So, hey, otherwise, you know, you can support us by letting folks know that you like what we do out there on the internet, whether it's our podcasts or our various books. Just keep listening and having fun. And until next time, until I see you again, I've been Elan Sleazebagano, and it feels good to say that again.
And have you heard of this Jet Nebula guy? Sounds like a fucking coot.
This dude would buy death sticks from me.
This guy doesn't want me to re-evaluate my life. He wants death sticks.
And to party.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.